the obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
The Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Good morning, everybody.
What's up? What's
up? Happy Monday. Beautiful outside.
It's all right.
The pads are on. The pads are on.
I'm ready to like go to a store, buy some pads, and like Zach and I can do the Oklahoma drill in the hallway.
I am super unprepared for that. I'm super unprepared for
Why?
That.
You could shake me.
Not a shot.
You can't juke me?
I'd be
We
like
were
a...
literally talking about how there's no room in the hallway to shake someone.
Yeah, I'm not what I'd call athletic.
There's 9 bills hurt. I don't need to be a 10th. I don't That's going to happen to me, and I'm not willing to do that.
Come on, man.
I'm not willing to do
Put
that.
Put the body on the line.
Because then I got to go to the hospital, and they're like, what happened?
Hospital?
Oklahoma drill.
Hospital? I'm not that good at anything, dude. As a matter of fact, there's a better chance on the record of me having to go instead of you.
Mm-mm, my body will break.
Josh saw it.
My body will break. Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. Bills are, of course, at training camp. We will be hearing from Bills head coach Sean McDermott. He spoke during the 9 o'clock hour when Jeremy and Joe had offensive coordinator Joe Brady on. But first, we go to the West Her Hotline and get our day started talking to the one and only Sal Capaccio, who is live down at training camp. Sal, good morning. How are we doing today?
Good morning. Let's see if you can hear this. Ready? Here we go. You hear that? Hear that noise? That
I'm hearing
popping?
People hitting people.
Yeah.
People hitting pads getting ready to hit people. That's the sled. That's a good old-fashioned sled right there, boys.
Yeah,
there.
Sled.
There
the sled.
It is pads time. In fact, they're going to be hitting each other here in a little while.
Yeah, and, you know, that's kind of like that extra sign of, like, how it feels more real. We heard Joe Brady talking about that when he was on with Jeremy and Joe. There's always that excitement, Sal, of really being able to add that physicality to the practice. You know, you're getting a little back and forth with players now, facing the same guys every now and then. So I'd imagine tensions might rise a little bit because you're going to start hitting people. It is going to start having that extra physical tension, so to say, to a practice that might make some tempers flare every now and then.
Sure, and that's going to happen. Sean McDermott said today, he's like, I'm not sitting here and say I'm against fights or for fights. Like, that's just things happen in practice, and you're going to have them once in a while as long as they're not cheap shots, and you have to have respect for another man's career. That's what he cares about. So, yeah, that'll happen, especially on a hot day today, like today. But, you know, listen, the bottom line is to get your job done. The bottom line is to work. It's not to be fighting against somebody. It's not to be, you know, tempers flaring and all that. The bottom line is to do your job in every play, get back in the huddle, do your job in the next play, and that's what they're out here for.
All right, so, Sal, outside of it being the first day of pads, although what did they have on yesterday? Like, they had, like, the shell or, like, part of it. Today's the first full day of pads.
The first day of pads. Yesterday they had shells on, but I'm looking to make sure they have pads with pants with pads in them today and helmets and shoulder pads.
Okay. But outside of that being maybe the biggest storyline of today, the second or even maybe the first is the injury list continues to grow for the Bills. 9 players now. Dalton Kincaid added today. Tyrell Shavers, it seems to be good news for him, but he's still not practicing. It's a long list, 9 guys.
Yeah, we have Dorian Williams is still out. He was injured the other day. I think it was his calf, if I remember correctly. Tyrell Shavers should be okay after that. What looked like a pretty bad injury, but not going to. It's not going to be too serious. Sean McDermott thinks he'll get him back in a couple of days. Cedric Grandparent Granger remains on the PUP list. He's out. Curtis Samuel and Terrell Bernard both have hamstring injuries. Elijah Moore not practicing today, a general soreness. Dalton Kincaid, knee soreness, so that's not great to read and see. Dawson Knox was activated off the non-football injured list yesterday, but he will not practice today yet, not quite there. Tyler Bass has pelvis soreness, the way he described it. Caden Prather has a hamstring injury, and Spencer Brown still has his back injury. So, yeah, quite a list of players. They did get Laviska Shenault back. They do get Taron Johnson back after a vet rest day. And they did get A.J. Epenesa back the other day as well, I think over the weekend. So it's the first time I talked to you guys since then. Josh Allen now going to the other field, waving, and you hear all the fans.
There we go, and we are off. Sal, from this weekend, I know a big storyline a lot of people were talking about, too, just from what I saw at least yesterday, Keon Coleman really having kind of – he's growing, it seems like, as camp has gone on. Maybe not the greatest start you'd want to see, but yesterday he's got the play, the Bills tweet out, you know, every day, and it seemed like he really is starting to find his groove as we're getting into pads.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You're talking about Keon Coleman? I lost you for a second there. Yep. You mentioned Keon Coleman, right? Yeah, for sure. I think he's had a – really good trajectory here over the first few days. He's gone kind of the first day a little bit non-existent. Second day, he started to show up. And then I think by the third day, he started to really get involved. Yesterday, I thought it was his best day whatsoever overall. So, yeah, I think Keon Coleman's on a really nice trajectory here the way that he's been participating.
What else have you seen from practice? I know guys like Dorian Strong as well has been getting a lot of headlines as someone that looks like the quote-unquote NFL corner. That's something me and Derek, I know we've talked to you about as, you know, when Bean selects a corner in late rounds of the draft, you somewhat have to pay attention. They have been very good at nailing these guys late in the rounds, and he seems to be somebody as well
I'm giddy.
That people are very excited to see in pads because that maybe is where his game goes.
Yeah, guys, there's a lot of noise around me here. Can you just tell me who you were just talking about?
Dorian Strong.
Yeah. So Dorian Strong has had a really good camp so far. He looks the part of an NFL cornerback. He really looks like an NFL corner. And at times you'll see him playing like an NFL corner, meaning getting physical. Let me tell you the play that he had the other day. It was great. And then there was the good and the bad of, you know, camp and being a rookie. I actually happened to be focusing on him. And just randomly I was saying, I'm going to watch Dorian Strong this play. And sure enough, this particular play, he drops into zone. He lets his guy kind of go to the next zone. And then he wheels his head around and sees the ball being thrown underneath. Does a great job to just kind of attack it and come downhill, which is great. Well, the ball gets caught. And after it does, Dorian Strong, peanut punch, forces a fumble. Like, all right, like here we go. This is great. A little bit later, Dorian Strong is on Keon Coleman. They're jostling down the field, like stride for stride, step for step. And Coleman did a great job on a great throw to just get his hands up at the right time to high point it right over top of him. And I think Dorian Strong's like, man, what do I got to do? That is the ups and downs of an NFL rookie in training camp. But I really like overall the camp that Dorian Strong has put together.
Sal, looking around all of camp up to this point with pads going on today, who's the player through the first, what has it been, four or five practices that maybe has caught your eye the most?
Ooh, it's a good question. I guess for different reasons we can go with different guys. I think Max Harrison has flashed for sure because he's Max Harrison, though, and not necessarily because he's done anything great or bad or anything like that. I'm going to say maybe Matt Milano because I'm fascinated by him right now. I'm fascinated by where he is in his career coming off his injuries that he's had. The fact that he's, you know, 31 years old and still able to play at a really high level if he's healthy. Is he going to stay healthy? Because he looks really good out here. Like, that's a guy that's really kind of caught my eye a little bit out here. And I'll say, for a different reason, Deion Walker, he's just massive. He's so big, it's crazy.
Yeah, that seems to be his thing. I mean, what did Ed Oliver call him? A dancing bear?
Yeah, something like that, right?
Just unbelievable.
I know.
Sal, when it comes to reps, everything like that, one of the bigger questions still being about like watching the safety position, more in particular Cole Bishop. How's he been looking so far with Taylor Rapp? Because I remember I did see that Sean McDermott was talking about the rapport that the two of them are trying to establish.
Yeah, he said he's looked good. He's done a good job. And that is so important with those two guys with the rapport they have to establish. So no doubt about it, he is kind of fitting in exactly how they want it. I've always said, guys, as long as Cole Bishop stays healthy, this is his job. It's his job to lose. The only way he can lose it is A, if he's not available, or B, if something goes drastically wrong as he's trying to win that job. But I think Cole Bishop has looked really good so far, and I like the camp he's putting together, and what Sean McDermott said really reinforces the things that we can't see about Cole Bishop, which is how he's working in tandem, you know, with Taylor Rapp, which is great.
All right, Sal, we'll let you get back to practice day one of pads. If anything big happens, you know where to find us.
Yeah, for sure. I'll be here, guys. I'm just going to walk over right now, get some shots of the defense working. So look forward on some video over at Sal Sports on X.
Enjoy the sights, the sounds.
That was Sal Capaccio there on the West Her Hotline. Coverage of Bills training camp from St. John Fisher University is brought to you by Fiegel, Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys, by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Connors & Ferris, your workers' comp attorneys, and driven by your Upstate Honda dealers. For great deals on the entire Honda lineup, visit your Upstate Honda dealer today. So, yes, day one of pads is underway. There were some scuffles, it looked like, before the weekend on Friday. We will, of course, listen back to Bills head coach Sean McDermott at 10:30, one of those guys being Alec Anderson. It appeared he threw him out of practice on Friday, that he was brought up when he was talking with the media. That is something that I think all of us kind of like almost prepare for, like as camp goes on. It's like, when is the first big fight? When is when everyone got to get, you know, separated? I saw yesterday on Twitter, Derek, someone mentioning 2022 when Josh Allen got involved. And I remember that. I hadn't thought about that in a while, but I remember when that happened. I was like, oh, yeah, I remember my heart dropped because I was like, dude, get him out of there. What is he doing? And then, what is happening?
Then after practice, there was more scuttlebutt going on while Allen's talking to the media, and he just did the dad voice thing. Hey.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
I forgot about that part.
No, that one was – that's memorable, the Josh Allen dad voice.
But, I mean, that is a thing, too. Like, camp does not go on nearly as long as it used to. There used to be two-a-days, and it, you know, it was a grind, and that – I would imagine for the players was awful. I mean, it's shorter now. I mean, we're getting to a point too where they leave St. John Fisher to go back home. They go back to Buffalo and they start working there and all that stuff. There also isn't the cut down days that we used to have. If anyone's been watching old Hard Knocks,
and you want
to have those, that was tough.
You want to talk about tension? That's tension, because that's the first wave of cuts. You want to make sure you're trying to survive to the next opportunity.
I have been watching those older Hard Knocks, and it's been a while since we've had cut down days. Now it's the last day, which I do prefer, to be perfectly honest, but that was a thing too where, yeah, like they got to the first round and you're just like, oh, like everyone has that same sort of feeling of dread. So you're right, like it'll ramp up the tension. But this is exciting. I mean, this is for a lot of people, like this is when camp really gets underway.
You could also just focus on it throughout until the last day. So at that point, you still have a chance.
Rather than worrying, I hope I get to Friday kind of deal.
Right. You don't have to worry about the first wave of cuts or making sure that you're getting out there to have more games. Yeah. That first wave of cuts happens, there's still more preseason to play.
Yeah, absolutely. And then that was a big thing why like the starters played week three, and then it was like, okay, everyone else, you're playing week four. Like,
yep.
We're not dealing with this. The long list of injuries, though, going into today, it is 9 players. Dorian Williams, Tyrell Shavers, Cedric Grand, Pran Granger, Curtis Samuel, Terrell Bernard, Elijah Moore, Dalton Kincaid, Dawson Knox, Tyler Bass, Caden Prather, and Spencer Brown. We were talking about it before we jumped on air. Most of those names are guys that you're going to want on Sunday.
They're guys that you want on Sundays. And the operative word for me, I'm not concerned. I'm annoyed.
It's annoyed.
Like, there's – and the thing that I'm annoyed about is just luck. There's nothing to it. It's not like these players aren't doing what they need to do to protect their bodies. It's just plays are happening. And, you know, sometimes you're working out and something's just – irritating you, or you're getting a rep in and a muscle doesn't cooperate with what you wanted to do. It's the human body. It's luck. It's annoying. Mm-hmm. It's annoying. That's all it is. It's just something where I'm like, can we not? And that's it. I'm not worried. I'm not concerned. The team doesn't sound overly concerned on a lot of these. So I'm more or less at, can we just not? Please. Yeah, thank you. You're welcome.
That's a really good part, is that the team doesn't sound overly concerned. For the most part. I mean, I know I saw a quote from McDermott today where he was just like, it's not ideal.
Yeah, it's
Which,
not
of
ideal.
Of course, your two starting tight ends are down. Two of your kind of rotational slot receivers are down. Your starting right guard is down. Your backup set, like, you know, right? But I do look at also stuff like this. Like, Curtis Samuel picked up a hamstring injury over the weekend, and kind of the thought was, ooh, this maybe is going to be a moment Elijah Moore can really start to establish himself with the ones. He goes down with something. You know, the two tight ends, Knox and Kincaid, both go down. Now, you could look at that as a huge bonus for some of the younger guys that can maybe start to gather reps, because they'll have to be with the ones. But it's not great. It's just, I think you're right. The operative word is annoying. But you do hope that eventually some of these guys start to get activated.
Right.
That has been true for some of these guys, but they're slow playing it. Knox, I think, is one of them.
Knox was
he's been activated. But
Chenault was activated.
Right. So that seems to be all in all good. It's just not ideal. They have not had any of the big injuries that we've been seeing around the NFL, which is obviously a bonus. I know one of the rookies for Tampa Bay, Walker, he's out for the season with a torn ACL. Cowboys guard broke a bone in his neck. There are far worse situations you can be in. Don't get me wrong. But as the season is ramping up, you want everyone there. You want at least most of them there. And you look around, it's a ton of starters. I mean, that's really what it is. It's a ton of starters and key backups. because Dorian Williams may not be a starter. He's a key backup. You know, Cedric Van Pran Granger may not be the starting center, but he's a key backup.
Right. And, again, this is a list of players that maybe outside of, like, what, one or two of them on your wide receiver depth that might still end up on practice squad anyway. Again, these are guys that you want on Sundays. You want to make sure, hope that there's nothing nagging going into the year because at that point, buckle up.
Yep. 803-0550, the number to call if you want to jump on the show. Though, do want to mention now, with full pads getting underway, this is a spot now, kind of from here on, where we'll actually be able to really get an idea of how good some of these guys have been performing. It's been nice to hear that Coleman is having better and better and better days as camp has gone on. Josh Palmer, his seems to be his connection and his chemistry with Allen seems to be getting better. TJ Sanders and Deion Walker, I've heard very good things from pretty much everyone that's covering camp. But now the pads go on. Now it kind of starts to get going for these guys.
We can get another evolution into the good things that we're hearing, though. That's the other part of this. You can hear more about this, especially with a physical receiver like Keon or the defensive tackles or a player that scouting reports say that was a man-heavy type player in Dorian Strong. Can he stay sticky with the pads on?
Yep.
And now you look at it and go, the pads are on. This is another step in the evolution of the camp battles, the position battles. You're looking at D-tackle. You're looking at wide receiver. You're looking at cornerback, too. Now we're going to see what we've got. It's another step. It's a palpable excitement, too, because when the pads are on, it's the thud. It's the real sounds of football. Of course, if you go to training camp, I don't think you're really picky for what days you're getting, especially when now you have to like kind of like put it on a prayer that you're going to get a ticket to go.
Yeah.
But the ones that are going now, I feel like they're more fortunate.
We do have word from camp. Rookie D-tackle TJ Sanders left the field with an athletic trainer. Nothing more on that. That is both from Alex Brasky and Catherine Fitzgerald. So multiple reports there. Still just annoying. Just annoying.
The annoyance continues.
But it's starting to get ridiculous. I am excited, though, for you brought up Coleman there with the pads being brought on, him being more of a physical receiver. You listen to Joe Brady with Jeremy and Joe, and he said it the first day he sat down with the media, too, about how much he liked Keon's game last year and kind of was like pushing back. Like, I know based on some of the questions I'm getting, other people didn't, but I did. And the connection with him and Allen continues to grow. It's tough to get a gauge, though, on where this team actually wants to go offensively in terms of how many targets are actually going to be up for grabs. Like, you know guys like Matt Collins are gone and Amari Cooper is gone. But are they going to be a team that throws all of a sudden 620 passes? Probably not. They were under 500 last year. Sure, weather game played into that. Allen didn't throw a ball in week 18, sure, right? But I don't imagine they're going to be a team that jumps up 130 targets or something like that. I don't imagine that
situation would have to dictate that. The defense would have to play a lot worse than it has in past regular seasons, and I don't see that happening.
I don't see that happening. And so, like, for Keon, is it really going to be just doubling up catches and yards so he gets like 50 balls and like 800 yards? That might be a great season for him.
That would be a great season for him, actually. Honestly, like, if it got to 800 yards with any of these receivers, I call that a net win.
For me, I think a lot of it has now just become, I just want this offense to be efficient. I don't want us to be sitting here in November or December already looking to April going, okay, well, when they can add another receiver.
Furthermore, what Brady said with Jeremy and Joe, last couple of years, we've had the ball in our hands with a chance to take the game. And we need to be efficient. We need to just be doing our job. We don't have to try to be playing the hero thing. And that is something to the offensive philosophy that Joe Brady seems to really wear.
Yeah.
He literally wears it. That is the everybody eats mentality. It is not just about, you know, spreading the ball around. It's just about, hey, we stay efficient. We stay doing our job. We stay confident that we can keep things going without having to try to do too much. Everyone's a cog in the machine, and we all need everyone working on the same scale, the same pace, the same efficiency in order for the ball to be moving.
And it seemed like they got there once they added Amari Cooper. Cooper didn't obviously have the flash stats that you want.
Correct.
But the offensive passing game got much better when he jumped in. Now you do wonder, with a healthy Curtis Samuel, hopefully, Elijah Moore, Josh Palmer, of course, a year or two of Keon Coleman, and whatever the tight ends and running backs are going to give you, you do wonder if that's where they're going to start day one. And if they do, they're in a good spot. They have a tough opener against Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where they can maybe be in a really good spot. I do look at Keon Coleman, and I just constantly wonder where he is going to fit in this offense. Not in a negative sense, but genuinely, like, just where is his role going to be? He was third for the Bills in most receiving categories from just a receiver basis. You know, catches, targets, yards, touches, the whole thing. I would say I'd want that again, though. Just be top three with receivers.
Yes, and especially if you're going to need a little bit more of a boost from, say, a Kincaid or maybe even James Cook out of the backfield, for example. Mm-hmm. But there's still something there.
Yeah.
If he gets to third, it's still solid. It's solid production. You want a player there. Do you want more? Of course you want more.
Mm-hmm. Yep. 803-0550, the number two call. Let's get connected to our fans before we hit our first time out. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We'll start off today with John on the line. John, good morning. How are we doing?
Good morning. How are you
doing? Doing very well. Doing very well.
Question for you guys this morning is, hope you're going. Second, what do you think is going to take for the Bills for that game opener against Baltimore to set the par for our season? And also, who do you think they should have at the stadium as the crowd pleaser for the opening game?
The legend of the game.
Appreciate it, John. Thank you.
I have not thought of who they should bring on. John, thanks for the call. To your first question about Baltimore, I think realistically for them, look, they beat Baltimore in the divisional round last year. A lot of it, though, was selling out on the run, and they did get turnovers. However, in the second half, the defense had struggles. Baltimore was able to move the ball almost at will. That, for me, like, and in terms of beating Baltimore, does the defensive line take early?
For me, furthermore, because John mentioned the part about like possibly like a tone setter sort of thing, losing the first game of the year has not stopped the Bills before.
No, that is right. That
As
is
a matter of
absolutely
fact,
right.
Probably the opposite.
They lost to Zach Wilson at one point.
They lost to Zach Wilson for the first game of the year, and they won the AFC East anyway.
A Pittsburgh team, too. And would that have been in 22?
I think it was 20.
Oh, no, that would have been 21. That's 21. Yep.
21. Didn't stop them then either. So I wouldn't look at it as the end of the world. You may just need to make sure online you're not following any Ravens people because they will refuse to shut up. But that's online. That's social media. That's a whole different world.
I think
I'm not worried if they lose to Baltimore because good teams beat good teams.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what happened in the playoffs. Good teams beat good teams. The Bills and Ravens are good teams. They will beat each other. You will lose to a good team every now and then. Hell, it happened early in the season last year. It's not the end of the world that they lose to the Ravens because it shows a balanced fight between two teams. The Bills and the Chiefs themselves. It is a balanced fight between the two of them. They have gotten rather strict on the timing of it,
mm-hmm.
of the Chiefs only win at a certain time of the year against Buffalo, and Buffalo wins it earlier than they do. I'm really thinking maybe we can just do a trade-off there. That'd be great.
Yeah, I'm really about done with that.
We don't need to. Yeah, it's monotonous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, change it up, mix it up. You know, get a little spicy every now and then. But I'm not worried about it at all. As for the legend of the game sort of thing, consider it's the last home opener at Highmark, or as many will call it, the Ralph. I would want somebody that you create a lot of memories with. I'm going to suggest Andre Reed.
Oh, see, I was going to go Bruce. Because I was right there
same
with
era.
You on everything. I was like, last home opener, let's go to like a surefire Hall of Famer, that guy that when you see them enter the stadium, mm-hmm. everyone loses their mind. I think Reed's a really good call. I'd go Bruce Smith. Just
yep.
You're right. Like, last home opener, here we go. The Week 18 one's going to be interesting. Because I think there's a good
chance. You're absolutely getting one of those players, the 90s era players there for that,
too. Because the Week 18 game, for the most part, could be boring, depending on how the Bills season goes.
Yeah.
So the legend of the game might be the most fun part of it, is the 90s helmet and then who's coming out for it.
Can I trouble Thurman for Week 18? Please.
I mean, it'd be nice to get the ball rolling now, because if he says no now, he'd be like in 2 weeks, but man, have you thought about it?
Thurman
like,
Thomas, if you're listening, go. Consider Week 18, please.
803-0550, the number to call. After this timeout, we will listen back to Bills head coach Sean McDermott speaking with the media before practice. This is WGR.
Welcome back, everyone. Injuries mounting at St. John Fisher. We've already mentioned that T.J. Sanders left field, went with the athletic trainers. Have not gotten an update on that, but he is now being joined by Alec Anderson. He also heads to the medical tent with the athletic training staff. 803-0550, the number to call. You want to join the show. But now we go back to earlier this morning as Bills head coach Sean McDermott sat down with the media.
All right. Let me give you the injury update this morning and who will not practice. So we got Seth Van Pran, Spencer Brown, Tyrell Shavers, Tyrell with his ankle. Doesn't seem to be serious, so we look like we're in decent shape there. Curtis Samuel, Terrell Bernard, Elijah Moore, Dorian Williams, Caden Prather, Dalton Kincaid. Dalton with knee soreness after yesterday's practice. Dawson Knox. And then T. Bass has a little bit of pelvis area soreness, so we're dealing with that. He may or may not be out there. We'll see. So the time is yours.
All right, so none of that seems real promising. That's a long list for
four. Yeah. No, it's not ideal, right?
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Especially with the names that are on there, so you're trying to move the team forward and develop, but it also allows an opportunity for us to see somebody step in and do the job. So that's just the nature of having the injuries that we do.
I saw Dalton yesterday a couple times, was on the ground, they were working on him, so that kind of popped up yesterday's practice.
Yeah, he had he went for a ball. I think there was two or three defenders around him. I don't know exactly the mechanism, if it was a contact. There was contact on the play, or if it was just the way he landed or what, but that's a better question for Nate.
What's up, Prather's injury?
Hamstring.
The same injury that he hurt last, the same knee that he hurt last year,
I believe so, but I can't be specific. I don't know the exact knee on that one.
Sean, Bobby talked about managing player anxiety when it comes to performance in the era of social media. You were specifically referring to Cole Bishop, and whether you want to talk specifically about Cole or in general, more.
Yeah.
How is it different now, dealing with younger players, when they have to have that social media part of it when it comes to, especially this time of year, when you're learning and developing, trying to figure out, taking them from guys who are, you know, being okay with learning to becoming the football player you're hoping they can be?
No, that's a real thing that people deal with, and not just, you know, football players, professional football players, but I think a real part of life these days with the amount of exposure through social media in particular, media overall, but social media in particular, it's a real part of life. And when you're trying to, in this case, get people to perform and become the best version of themselves, it's important that we do our best to manage that and try to take that off of them as much as possible. So I think that's becoming more and more, a real thing that we have to deal with and, in the NFL, but also in life in general. So it's, I think the better you can be at disarming that and making sure the guys just stick to the process and get better and focus on the controllables, I think that's the right way to go about it. So everyone's a little bit different, don't get me wrong, but these players, I've learned over the years that they're just like all of us, right? They want to perform. They feel the pressure to perform, the pressure of expectations, and, they're real human beings. And so as a coach, as coaches, as a staff, it is huge for us to be able to navigate or help them navigate that the best way possible, and get them to perform in doing so at the highest level possible.
With the injuries at linebacker, how much of an asset is Shaq Thompson, just given his experience and his familiarity with what you want to do?
No, Shaq, he has familiarity with our system. although we've been apart for some years now. But it's good to have him back. He's a really good football player. You know, I'm a little bit older than he remembers me. He's a little bit older than I remember him, which makes it fun too, because it's good to get caught up on life and see how he's grown over the years. Super proud of him and the family man that he is and the career that he's had to this point.
Dawson was activated yesterday, but he won't practice today. Is that correct?
Yeah, he will not be. It's too early for that.
But LaVisca will practice today?
He'll do a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, he'll do a little bit.
Zach Davidson's taken advantages, it seems, back-to-back years now of opportunities. How have you seen his game grow since he's been in the system?
Yeah, Zach's a great example of our culture. You know, here's a player that, you know, came to us at an early phase of his career, was in a different culture and setting and environment, and to watch him grow and thrive, he's just been a great addition from an energy standpoint. He's a great young man, also a great family man, and he's out here every day working to improve. And I mean, you love stories like that, right? That guy's, he's coming off of a knee 2 years ago now, I think it's been. So he's seen the adversity that was asked about earlier. He's been through that, and he continues to push through, and I'm extremely proud of his attitude, his belief in himself, and his willingness to work every day.
John, when the Pats come out, what do you want to see and what don't you want to see?
I want to see nasty, physical football, but I don't want to see a disrespect for a man's career and dirty football. That's not how we play in Buffalo. So we painted a pretty clear picture this morning of what that looks like for the new players in particular. So that nastiness that's got to be developed here, but it can't be at the expense of someone's career. So clean, but physical.
Sean, to follow up on that, Friday Alec Anderson got into it with the teammates hung off. He headed down the tunnel pretty quickly after. Was that a statement from you and the coaching staff? To your point, you just said that's not going to work.
Yeah, I mean, you guys know fights are going to happen. And you know, I can't sit here and say, hey, I'm for fights, against fights. Fights are going to happen. When you cheap shot someone, I have no respect for that. And so I thought that was a cheap shot. And so I sent him to the locker room. And I communicated clearly to him from a following up standpoint of why I did that. I believe in Alec. I love him. He's one of our, you know, tone setters, which I love. But there is a line there, especially against your own teammates.
Hey, Sean, was there a teaching moment for Maxwell Harrison yesterday with how he finished through the Shavers rep at the end of practice there?
You know what? You know, we've talked about this a little bit. A couple of the coaches and myself, Joe, yesterday afternoon. There's football, right? And you never want to see a player go down. Thankfully, Shaves is in, you know, pretty good shape, all things considered, with the way that looked. So, you know, I thought maybe we finished a step too long on the play. But listen, we can sit here and bitch and complain and put our hands up in the air and say, you know, but we're competing, and that's football. And some things are going to come up, unfortunately, sometimes. That to me is almost a bang-bang, maybe a step too long. But you start coaching that, and then the players pull off. So we're trying to get something done here. There are going to be some of those things that come up. Again, that's football. That is different than that situation that we just discussed over there.
Before the injury, it seemed like Shavers was making a real push. What have you seen from him early on in the camp and even before?
Yeah, no, he's making – that'll continue. He'll be back in a couple of days, I believe, and everything goes as planned. And he's a great young man. You guys know it. Probably one of the highlights last year that I remember was him taking that screen and going the distance, you know. So – you know, Shaves and I just caught up a little bit this morning after the team meeting, and he's in good spirits. You know, he wants to be out there. I know he needs those reps. We want to see him. But, you know, he's a hard guy to stop just in terms of his heart, his desire. You saw the players come over to him. I think that spoke volumes of who he is and how they respect him.
In a very short while, Khalil Shakir has emerged as I guess – one of those core guys, like, you know, that you've had since, you know, under 2017. How has he emerged? What have you seen him emerging into that leadership role and being I guess, a part of that Bills culture.
Well, I think you saw when he was out last year, it was a game and a half, like really the second half of the first Ravens game. He was out there, but he really wasn't able to perform like he can. And I think you saw the impact on our offense and impact on our football team as a result. So, no, he's one of the guys. He's one of the main guys that can drive our football team and take it to another level.
He seems underrated nationally. I'm not sure if he's on the radar.
Yeah, I'm not really into the rankings. He's one in my book, so that's all that matters.
Availability has been
Cam Lewis. He's been with you a long time. You got a lot of new guys in the secondary this year, and he seems to always be somewhere for you. When you think of Cam, what he's done for your team and what he could do, what do you think about him?
No, I love the fact that he's a UB product, and here's a young man that much like some of the names you've already mentioned here this morning, of comes from practice squad, kind of ping-ponging back and forth to the active, finally gets pushed up, and he earned that. And then he has created staying power because of his position flexibility. And every day that he's in the role that he's in, he gets more and more, he gets better and better at it, which is interesting because he's balancing sometimes not two, but three positions. Even if you look last year, he played dime, he played nickel, he played safety, albeit some of those in backup roles. But that's just as hard as anything because it means he's not getting the reps during the week, but then he's asked to perform on game day. So that's, I tip my cap to Cam and the way he's handled that. And years ago when we had UB Pro Day or our local Pro Day when he was there. I mean, Lance Leipold, who was his coach, is like, hey, this is the guy. And then I walked around to different staff members and saying, hey, and everyone pointed to Cam. And it's been real. It's been true. So
availability has been a bit of an issue for Baylen for the first last couple of years. But when he's healthy, what does he bring for you?
You're talking linebackers, right? So linebackers, especially if you're not the starter, you're playing special teams, your core special teams players, and expected to contribute in that capacity. And Baylen has that ability, as you said, and he knows this, we've talked about it, is the availability is what's held him back at times. So he's very aware of that, and we're doing the best, our medical staff's doing the best that we can to get him just in the right spot so that, we can test that a little bit, but not too much, and then he can get on into the season here.
With John Sullivan, have you seen another level of confidence in Sullivan?
Would you say
Sullivan?
Yeah.
A different level of confidence and really development as far as technique for the type of role that he can play in your defense?
Yes. He's a second-year player, as you know, that I thought really had a good off season. And some players come in, make an impact, their first year, and then that second or that first summer or second summer, however you want to say it, they kind of, oh, I got this, I know what this is, I've done the same thing going from junior high to high school to college. They kind of get comfortable, and Sally didn't do that. Sally had an impact on special teams a little bit there for us and had some reps on defense. And I thought his summer was really good, and that's paying off as you watch him out here already this to camp this morning. Yeah, you're good.
How do you feel Cole Bishop has handled what you've asked him thus far?
Done a good job. Yeah, he's done a good job. He's focused. T-Rap has done a really good job of basically locking arms with him and keeping him dialed in, but more like. Safeties, as you guys know, with Mike and Jordan, they have to be in lockstep, right, along with the middle linebacker and the nickel position because they are the quarterbacks of the defense. And Cole, in his second year, is asked to do that, which is a hefty responsibility in addition to just playing his position. So, I mean, that leadership by those guys that have helped him has been instrumental in his development to this point. There's still a lot of room for work, though, just through reps, experience, seeing what he hasn't seen, last year being hurt some of the season. So, getting these reps, the longer he can stay out here, the better off he'll be.
There was Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott before practice got underway this morning over at St. John Fisher. Before we hit our next timeout, tune in this week for your chance to win two tickets to a Buffalo Bisons home game on Saturday, August 2nd at Salins Field at 6:35 p.m. Celebrate women in sports plus a post-game drone show. 803-0550, the number two call. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer hanging with you here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
It's WGR. Wrapping up hour number one here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Training camps were going on throughout the weekend. The Bills had Saturday off, but did practice on Sunday. Another team that practiced, the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, really? One of 32?
One of 32. And former Bill Kyer Elam, of course, so, on Dallas.
This was so fun. This was so fun. Genuinely like a heartwarming style kind of thing, but also just like, in the same sense, hey man, sometimes you just got to sell your heart, even if it's in practice, who cares? Kyer Elam has an interception on, he effectively looked like he ran the route,
yeah,
and Prescott threw it right to him. But this kind of goes back to something that Joe Kelly and I brought up, a topic to start Sports Talk Saturday, training camp memories.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this one's an easy one for this kid. Kyer Elam picks the ball off, goes celebrating with the crowd, comes out with a child.
I mean, like, fully, like, picked the kid up from the side and was, like, carrying him around.
They gave him the ball and, like, they give him the Simba treatment, give him the ball back because he dropped it. But, yeah, no, that's an instant right there.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
That's one of the most heartwarming, funny celebrations that you would see in a training camp. And it's like, go experience training camp.
I was happy to see it was Elam, though, with that celebration. I have no ill will towards him at all.
It's
a missed pick for the Bills. I think he just didn't really fit the team at all. And I mean that by like scheme and what they actually wanted him to do. I'd love if he could go to Dallas and kind of rediscover himself.
Most of his comments also were more of like believing in himself, not about bashing the team.
I will also say he may have a real spot to work with Dallas because one of their rookies, a guy we were kind of high on is maybe like a late round or later round, like second, third round, Siobhan Revell. There was a video from him over the weekend, too. I think he's way further behind in his rehab than maybe a lot of us were willing to talk about.
Which is why he got pushed off and down the draft order.
I think he was a third-round pick for them.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, he did not look great. And so there really might be a spot there for Elam to maybe kind of find himself in Dallas, a team that, well, everything else going on, they may actually need some help at corner. They really only have Diggs, and he's not the best cover corner in the world. 803-0550, the number two call. We'll jump around the NFL in hour number two. Want to talk some of the stuff, including with Dallas, Micah Parsons. Also, though, jump into Travis Hunter and how good he potentially could be in his rookie year. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer, you're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.